All right. Hey guys, what's going on? It's Josh, JCL Felto for the Writer's Lens. And hot off the heels of my last interview with Emmanuel Mullen of The Story Is. And I typically do this where after an interview, I'll kind of sit down and decompress and maybe further unpack some thoughts that come from just interacting and discussing different things with another creative person and someone who's also on the path of being a storyteller in real life in real time. So I did have some thoughts that I wanted to unpack from the interview because the interview was great. I thought the interview was great. Emmanuel and I have known each other for about 6 years now. I considered him kind of to be like a brother in arms in the whole creative play field, battlefield, I guess, if you want to put it that way. And he brought up some really interesting points that I thought were worthy of just further unpacking and kind of pulling out a bit and talking a little bit further in as far as it relates to telling story and doing things that you are creatively inclined to want to do and may have big plans for. Or maybe you think, this is something that interests me and I want to do it for money. Like, I want to do it for money's sake. So, Emmanuel, obviously having his own business, doing a video production, is one of those examples where, yeah, you can make it happen. But is he more the exception than the norm? I think is also a really good question to ask. So, and I'm doing a video on this for the first time in a while because I just kind of felt like doing a video portion with the discussion was appropriate, I guess. So let's just dive in here. I had three major things I wanted to touch on, and the first of which was just that exact topic about making money off your creative pursuits. Emmanuel made a good point there, and I shared this earlier, but he was talking about how, as a creative person, there's just a lot of things that you might do that you are interested in that might be a hobby. Let's say you make, I don't know, you could crochet, perhaps, or you could knit, or you could make lamps out of something. Okay. I don't know. I'm just kind of spitballing things, but you don't necessarily have to turn that into a business endeavor. And Emmanuel made a good point where he said, I feel like there's a lot of cultural pressure that is faced whenever you have something like that, that you suddenly have to take hold of it and go, well, how can I make money off this now? Is there a way that I could push this into the masses and make some money, make some cash. And that tends to be the wrong mindset to have because, well, for a couple reasons. I mean, number one, very rarely do a lot of creative pursuits end up paying the bills. I mean, I think the creative field is a very, it's not a muddied place to be in, but it's extremely difficult to get noticed. And it's I don't say that as a challenge to anybody out there that well, I'll show you kind of deal, but just being a little bit more realistic about just the reality of trying to make a dent in several market spaces. I mean, like me being a self-published author, the landscape of authors now is nothing like it was even 10 years ago, back when self-publishing was first starting to kind of take some root and take hold. And today, now 10 years to the day, I think 2008 was the first year that there was actual more self-published titles than there were published titles. I mean, I might have to fact check myself on that. But the reality is it's that much harder now to stand out. I mean, it's that much more difficult to be someone that can speak out among all the different voices out there in the creative field. So that was the first thing, and to have kind of a reasonable expectation, because usually when someone does something nice like that, I mean, just because your mom or your aunt or your uncle or your grandma says, "Oh, you really make some really cool cheesecakes," or something like that, like immediately, a light bulb goes off. Oh, I can make cheesecakes for a living. I can do this right out of my house. It's a great idea. I should do it. And I think that's not the right mindset to have, right off the bat. I mean, you definitely can make money, if you want to do it, but But to have an immediate expectation that this is going to pay all your bills and things, I think that's kind of a leap of faith that really shouldn't be there if you have it already. I mean, starting slow and having foundation, which was something that Emmanuel and I talked about throughout the course of that interview, about having foundation and not just taking these massive leaps of faith, you know, forgoing everything else, all of the responsibility, just for the sake of your craft or your creative pursuit. So that was number one. Number two that I wanted to discuss is this idea of you're going to have the most fun doing whatever it is creatively in the beginning stages, like when you're not getting paid for it, essentially. So this is kind of piggybacking off of what I was just talking about. So I've heard this from a lot of other artists and writers, is that, you know, the most fun I had was in the beginning, you know, before I had the writing contract, before I had all this pressure to meet a deadline that somebody else was handing down to me, before I had, you know, six different forms of social media that I had to keep up with all the time just to keep my readers engaged or keep my listeners engaged, you know, things like that. Because there wasn't this, all this pressure now to kind of make ends meet. And he was saying how, you know, you're just going to have more fun now than you will later. And I thought about that, and I tend to think that the fun can actually be, I don't want to say misplaced is the right word, but basically you have nothing but high hopes in the beginning. I mean, all of your expectations are very good. You know, your outlook is good because in your head you're thinking, oh yeah, this is going to be great. I'm going to do everything naturally. It's going to be very easy for me. I'm not going to have to, you know, do too much effort because it's just so much fun. But then it becomes a job, and then it's like, oh no, is this, you know, is this no longer going to be fun anymore? And that's a problem. I mean, obviously that's a big problem. But this idea of having the most fun in the beginning stages, I think is even more, to be more specific, is even more tied to the idea that all of your expectations are just on the, you know, they're still out there. The potential to just do anything is so huge and massive that there's a lot of, there's only one way to go, and that's up. And that can also be why in the beginning stages of whatever you're doing, you have that really high hope that, you know, yeah, the future is so bright. The horizon is just coming at me, man, and it's going to be great. So that was something really good too that I thought Emmanuel touched on, and we were able to kind of talk about a little bit, but not completely. But the third thing then that I wrote down here is something that we really didn't bring up, but we kind of did towards the end, where I joked with him about how he did a cover for my book for The Road to Mars, and he did it without getting paid and no kind of compensation whatsoever. And that was a huge, like, help to me. I mean, the fact that somebody was willing to do a cover for me was like, whoa. And to do it for free was, I was like, oh, dude, I love you. This is great. I mean, how can I ever repay you? And he's going, no, you don't have to repay me. I kind of did that out of the goodness of my heart, you know, run with it. It took me 5-10 minutes to do it. And the thing that's funny, though, is even after, I don't know, 2 years of having the book out and, you know, having had him do this nice thing for me, I think it should be said that, like, I take other people's creative skill sets and their endeavors very seriously. So, like, if someone else who is writing for, you know, writing a book, or they're trying to become a painter or something, or if they're trying to start a business that has some sort of creative piece to it, I take it very seriously, me personally, because I know how much time can go into it, because of how much time I put into my books and how much time I put into writing and editing and rereading and all this kind of stuff. So when someone hands something off to me and says, hey, will you take a look at this, or will you consider reading through this with me just to make sure I got all my T's crossed, I's dotted, I take that very seriously because of the time, the time that it takes. So when someone says, I'm doing this for free for you, I immediately, my first reaction is, are you sure? You know, are you sure I can't repay you for this? I think I should. I feel like I should. I don't want to have a guilt trip about it, but I feel like I should. And the really crazy, I don't want to say twisted part of this, is that if you are the type of person that gives away your talents and your giftings for free too often, people will take advantage of you. They'll constantly take advantage of that. And you have to be able to say no to certain things. Now, granted, Emmanuel did it, like I said, you know, he wasn't expecting anything back from me. I gave him an acknowledgement in my book, so there you go, Iman. But people will try to take advantage of your giftings and whatever you have to offer creatively. I mean, if you can do it for free, you know, just help me out, man. Help me out. And I think me too, I've fallen into that trap a couple times where someone will hand me something and they'll say, man, could you please just read this? Hey, man, could you just look this over for me, proofread it? I know this is kind of your thing. It's not really my thing. I know you can blaze through this and find some things that I can't. And like I said, I take it very seriously because I take my craft very seriously. And I always expect that in return because of the amount of expectation I have for myself. And it's important to me. So what I've had to learn throughout the years of doing this self-published venture and being a writer is that you have to be able to say no eventually to some people. And it's not because you don't like them, and it's not because you don't appreciate their craft or you don't agree with, I mean, I guess you can disagree with their craft, but you can't view it as being mean. Okay. You can't view that as being mean because the time that you spend on their stuff versus stuff that you're trying to do, I mean, that's a decision that you got to weigh. I mean, you got to really figure out if I'm going to spend a lot of time working on this person's thing or I still have to finish this, you know, and there's time constraints on me. There's a pressure for me to get this done. I need to get this done. So I guess in closing, I've just had to learn how to be a bit more discerning about saying no to certain things and not letting other people take advantage of that, because it's important that you don't get taken advantage of. And the internet is an amazing place. It's a fascinating place. You can connect with authors and aspiring artists and sculptors and just architects and all kinds of entrepreneurs out there. But everybody is trying to do things for the greatest return on investment, but the least amount putting into that investment on the front end, because we don't want to spend a ton of money. We want to make a lot of money. And you have to be in that mindset if you are going to be an entrepreneur and you want to do something like that. But I say that as a forewarning to anybody out there that's a creative, that's, you know, working on something and you just find yourself always giving your time to something else. It's okay to say no. I mean, it's okay to say no to somebody. And I think it helps us build a bit of a thicker skin too when the critiques come in, because critique is a whole other animal that as a creative person you have to deal with. So those are just some of my post thoughts from the interview with Emmanuel late last week. So again, Emmanuel, if listening, man, I appreciate it as well. And I'll look forward to catching up with you guys again soon on another episode here of The Writer's Lens. All right, thanks, guys.